Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashodanandana Vrajjana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Vrajjana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Yashodanandana Vrajjana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari.
Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shrivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Acha Mukunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhan ki Shri Vrindavan Dham ki Jai Shri Gandamai ki Jai Shri Janamai ki Jai Shri Nityakasi Devindavan ki Jai Shri Divan Grace Shri Prabhupada ki Jai Our Lordship Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nikai ki Jai All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gurudeva. So before I start today's discussion, I just want to mention in our last class, I discussed and mentioned about the pastime of the previous life of. It's on, maybe it's need more volume or something. Yeah, we discussed about the previous life of Satyabhama, Queen Satyabhama. So I was asked to make a public statement as to where I got those references from, so to post something on the internet. I'm not an internet person, so I thought I'll mention here that the references for that pastime of Queen Satyabhama's previous life is mentioned in two texts that Srila Prabhupada often quoted from. One is the Skanda Puran. It's in the Vaishnav section under the topic of the Damodar Mass, Kartik Mass Mahatmya. And also it's mentioned in the Padma Puran in the Uttarakhand section, chapters 88 and 89. So anyone can look that up. It's there the entire, the life of Sri Satyabhama, Mother Queen Satyabhama. So anyway, just wanted to mention that in case if anyone has any questions, they can, you know, discuss with me personally. So for today's verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll be starting a new chapter. So we'll be reading Srimad Bhagavatam today, Canto 3, Chapter 5, entitled Vidura's Talk with Maitreya, verses 1 and 2. So we'll do verse 1 simultaneously, and verse 2 we'll do it responsively. So let's start with verse 1 simultaneously. Sri Sukha Vacha Daridu Naja Shabu Gunam Maitreya Asinam Gada Vodam Chato Pashata Chita Bhava Siddha Prakacha Shashila Guna Vichitaka. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, Vidura, the best among the Kuru dynasty, who was perfect in devotional service to the Lord, thus reached the source of the celestial Ganges River, Hardwar, where Maitreya, the great fathomless learned sage of the world, was seated. Vidura, who was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence, inquired from him. Purport. Vidura was already perfect due to his unalloyed devotion to the fathomless Lord, to the infallible Lord. The Lord and the living entities are all qualitatively the same by nature, but the Lord is quantitatively much greater than any individual living entity. He is ever infallible, whereas the living entities are prone to fall under the illusory energy. Vidura had already surpassed the fallible nature of the living entity in conditional life due to his being achyuta bhava, or legitimately absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord. This stage of life is called achyuta bhava siddha, or perfection by dint of devotional service. Anyone, therefore, who is absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord is a liberated soul and has all admirable qualities. The learned sage Maitreya was sitting in a solitary place on the bank of the Ganges at Hardwar, and Vidura, who is the perfect devotee of the Lord and possessed all good transcendental qualities, approached him for inquiry. So, verse 2. Vidura vacha. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. Natai sukham vanya duparamam va. Vindeta Bhuya Stataye Vadukam. Yadatra Yuktam Bhagavan Vadena. Sukaya Karma Nikaroti Loko. Natai Sukam Van Yaduparamamba. Vindeta Bhuya Stataye Vadukam. Yadatra Yuktam Bhagavan Vadena. Sukaya Karma Nikaroti Loko. Natai Sukam Van Yaduparamamba. Vindeta Bhuya Stataye Vadukam. Yadratra Yuktam Bhagavan Vadena. Please chant.
Sukaya Karma Nikaroti Loko.
Sukaya Karma Nikaroti Loko. Matai Sukam Vanya Duparamamba. Vindeta Bhuya Stataye Vadukam. Yadatra Yuktam Bhagavan Vadena.
Sukaya Karma Nikaroti Loko.
Sukaya Karma Nikaroti Loko. Natai Sukam Vanya Duparamamba. Vindeta Bhuya Stataye Vadukam. Yadatra Yuktam Bhagavan Vadena. Mothers. Sukaya Karma Nikaroti Loko. Natai Sukam Vanya Duparamamya. Vindeta Bhuya Stataye Vadukam. Yadatra Yuktam Bhagavan Vadena. Sukaya Karma Nikaroti Loko. Natai Sukam Vanya Duparamamba. Vindeta Bhuya Stataye Vadukam. Yadatra Yuktam Bhagavan Vadena. Word for word. Vidura Uvacha. Vidura said. Sukaya. For attaining happiness. Karmani. Fruitive activities. Karoti. Everyone does so. Lokaha, in this world. Na, never. Tihi, by those activities. Sukam, any happiness. Va, or. Anyat, differently. Uparamam, satiation. Va, either. Vindeta, achieves. Bhuyaha, on the contrary. Tataha, by such activities. Eva, certainly. Dukam, miseries. Yat, that which. Atra, under the circumstances. Yuktam, right course. Bhagavan, O Great One. Vadet, may kindly enlighten. Naha, thus. Translation. Vidura said, "O great sage, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness, but one finds neither satiation nor the mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Please, therefore, give us directions on how one should live for real happiness." Purport. Vidura asked Maitreya some common questions, which was not originally his intention. Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya Muni and inquire into all the truths concerning the Lord, his fame, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc. And thus, when Vidura approached Maitreya, he should have asked only about the Lord. But out of natural humility, he did not immediately ask about the Lord, but inquired into a subject which would be of great importance to the common man. A common man cannot understand the Lord. He must first know the real position of his life under the influence of the illusory energy. In illusion, one thinks that he can be happy only by fruitive activities. But what actually happens is that one becomes more and more entangled in the network of action and reaction and does not find any solution to the problem of life. There is a nice song in this connection. Because of a great desire to have all happiness in life, I built this house. But unfortunately, the whole scheme was torn to ashes because the house was unexpectedly set on fire. End of quote. The law of nature is like that. Everyone tries to become happy by planning in the material world. But the law of nature is so cruel that it sets fire to one's schemes. The fruitive worker is not happy in his schemes, nor is there any satiation of his continuous hankering for happiness. End of quote. Om Jnana Timandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shita Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishatan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Kapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Gayvasha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhuta Vishnu Tishila Durga Uttara Uti Namani Sri Sri Vendata Vijura Pada Padmanka Jadayani Prabhupada Nubadaya Namashi Gurubhavi Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Vaishnavi Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Sinivani Pachate Pashitani Hare Krishna. So, to understand this context, we need to back up a little bit and we can reintroduce what's going on here, which I'm pretty sure most of you know this topic. So there are three personalities primarily involved here. Uddhava, Vidura, and Maitreya. So just before Krishna left, this planet, he gave some last instructions to Sri Uddhava. And coincidentally, the sage Maitreya turned up at that spot, so he heard all those instructions. But by physical age, Maitreya Muni was much older than Uddhava. So when Vidura left home and was traveling, he approached Uddhava for instructions in spiritual life. But due to a Vaishnava etiquette, because Maitreya Muni was still on the planet, it's the natural Vaishnava etiquette to send him to the more senior of the two personalities. So therefore, Uddhava sent Vidura to approach Maitreya for instructions, because Vidura was eager to learn what were those last instructions of Lord Krishna. So that just sets a background as to what's happening here. So here is where, in today's verses, where Vidura traveled and he reached Hardwar, where Maitreya Muni was sitting. So he went there for instructions. So in this first verse, it describes some qualities of Vidura. Verse 1. It says, Vidura, who was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence, inquired from him. So I would like to ask for some of your version and opinion, that what do you understand by the word gentleness? Vidura is described as being very gentle. So can you give us some understanding? What do you understand by this gentleness? And especially in relation to spiritual life. Anyone?
Kind-hearted.
I didn't hear that.
Kind-hearted.
Kind-hearted. Okay.
Well-mannered.
See?
Well-mannered.
Well-mannered. Yes, exactly. Nice. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes?
Compassionate.
So these give some examples of what a gentle person is like, what is expected of someone in gentleness. But from this verse, in connection to verse 2, it says here that, so let me read back the first. Verse 1 says, Vidura, who was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence, inquired from him. Then the second one says, please therefore give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. So first of all, it says here that Vidura was satisfied in transcendence. So what does that mean? If one is satisfied in transcendence, what is the need to inquire about anything more? From a logical point of view, does that make sense? If you're fully satisfied with everything, then what's the need to inquire?
He's doing that for us.
Okay, yes, that's the point. So when he says here, please therefore give us directions. So who is that us? It was Maitreya and Vidura alone there, according to the description. At least so far, I didn't understand that there were other people around. But he's saying, give us directions. So what do we understand now about Vidura's gentleness? Means that he's compassionate, as Maramadhi rightly said. He's magnanimous, and he's concerned for the living entities. So he's greatly concerned about the welfare of everyone. So who else in the Bhagavatam that we just passed from the first canto, who who did this to a very great extent under very difficult circumstances? Maharaj Parikshit. We discussed this in the first canto. He got notice that he's going to die in 7 days. And he's taking instructions from Sukadeva Goswami. So being a devotee of his caliber, he could have gone straight to the 10th canto to hear about all the intimate and glorious pastimes of the Lord. But no, with all he was in that circumstance, he questioned for the first 9 cantos so that we, people like us, and the world in general, can get spiritual instructions of how to gradually develop in Krishna consciousness, in spiritual life, and go back home, back to Godhead. That was very risky. He only had 7 days. And yet he spent most of that time for the welfare of others. So how magnanimous can that be? How much more can you get? So Vidur is described as in a very similar way here. Actually, our acharyas described Vidura in relation to when he went for the last time to drag his brother Dhritarashtra out of the palace. And he spoke so strongly towards him. He described Vidura's characteristic is described as being compassionate but not attached. So he's very compassionate, he's very merciful, but he's not attached. So that's a quality that a devotee has to develop. That you're very compassionate to everyone, you're very interested in the lives of everyone to take care, but at the same time, you cannot be attached to them. So they describe that there's a difference between being compassionate and being attached, or being merciful and being attached. So when one is compassionate and merciful, he would tell someone that they're wrong, even if that person gets upset. He would try the best way to tell them and to try to drag them out of that situation. But if one is attached, then despite what someone does, you will not tell them that they're wrong just so that you don't want to burn that relationship. That's typical in American society. I've noticed that myself coming from a foreign place. I noticed that a lot. So anything you say, the other party said, yes, that's okay. Anything you do, they said, yes, that's okay. Yeah. Even if you do something really wrong, they will not want to hurt your feelings. They will try to polish it off nicely. But that's not a quality of a devotee. So another thing that is mentioned here that is very, very important, that there is a difference between principles and higher principles. So in the first verse, what happened is that Uddhava gave Vidura instructions that you go to Maitreya and inquire about the pastimes of the Lord. But what did Vidura do? He disobeyed those instructions. At least he put them on hold. Yet what he disobeyed, and he willfully did something else. So, in principle, he disobeyed that instruction. In higher principle, he did it for a higher purpose. Just like we heard in the Mahabharata, in the pastime of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira, being Dharmaraj, the king of religious principles, he never told a lie in his life. He was the person that follows religious principles to the highest extent. So he was so dharmic, so much so that his chariot never touched the ground. It's described that his chariot wheels were always four fingers riding above the ground, whatever four fingers calculates to be. But they were never touching the ground because he was so religious and so pure of a person. But in the battle, when Krishna asked him to tell a lie, to say that Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead, so that Dronacharya, who was also the father of a human being, Ashwatthama, and who he was so attached to, that when he heard that, he would become disheartened in fighting, and therefore Arjuna can conquer him easily. So Krishna asked Yudhisthira, because Yudhisthira is the emblem of truth, so if and what he says, everyone accepts without a shadow of a doubt. So he asked Maharaj Yudhisthira, to you announce that Ashwatthama is dead, because what happened? Arjuna killed an elephant by the name of Ashwatthama. So he said, you announce loudly that Ashwatthama is dead. Say, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. But when you say the elephant, I'll blow my conch shell, so Dronacharya would not hear the word, the elephant. So when he made that plan and presented to Yudhisthira, Yudhisthira hesitated that, no, I cannot tell a lie. I cannot be deceiving, because he is the emblem of truth and religiosity. So he hesitated to follow the Lord's instruction, which is the higher principle. So because of that hesitation, it's described that at that point, his chariot touched the ground, because he hesitated to carry out the higher principles of spirituality. So similarly here, Vidura, he disobeyed his guru's instruction because he went to Uddhava for instruction, so therefore he accepted Uddhava as his guru. Akli Shiksha Guru, is that correct? Yes, he accepted. That's why he went for instructions. So Uddhava instructed him that you go to Maitreya Muni and you inquire this, this, and this, very specific. But he totally disobeyed that instructions, and he asked something else. So what he asked about? He asked about sukham and dukham. That, and another thing that is described here, that as soon as he approached Maitreya, you know, he didn't engage in frivolous talks. Oh, how are you doing? What was life like? When did you get here? You know, how are you feeling? Everything okay? Whatever, you know, the normal social thing that we discuss. But no, he went directly, immediately, as he offered obeisances, immediately said, please instruct us, please direct us, that we see so many people, everyone is going after material happiness. But instead, what, you know, they're going after material happiness, sukham. But what are they getting instead? They're getting dukkham, misery. Please explain to us, why is that so? So another lesson here in terms of making use of the best time of a senior devotee, of a great personality of the devotee, that we don't waste our time in anything else. We go directly so we can make the best use of that devotee's time. Because it says that a moment's association with a devotee can completely cut off our material attachments here. What's the Sanskrit for that? Moment's association? Lavamatra. So, just a moment. So, it's so important that we keep that in mind when dealing with devotees. That we keep that focus to make the best use of each other. So anyway, so here he's asking Maitreya Muni about this sukham and dukkham, that why we're looking for happiness, but we're getting distress instead. So that's the question in the second purport. So Srila Prabhupada gave a very nice example here in this song, what he quoted, that this person is looking to get material happiness, so he built his entire house. And what happened? The house got set on fire, everything burned to ashes. His entire scheme of activities got thwarted, got completely sidetracked. So I actually had a practical experience of this. When I was a Sankirtan devotee, I was a brahmachari, I went out on Sankirtan and I met one man, and he was very insulted that, oh, you Hari Bowls, that's what they call us in Guyana. They don't say Hare Krishna, they say you Hari Bowls, that you're coming around begging or trying to get us to buy something from you so that you can support yourself. So why don't you do like what I am doing? You know, look what everybody else is doing. They go and work hard. Just see, I just built my house. I work hard and built my house. I didn't go and beg from anyone. And I provide everything for my family. We buy our own clothing. Why don't you go and do like that? So I was trying to tell him that, no, we're not here to take something from you. We're here to give. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, he was describing India, that previously the world had known India as a poor begging country, that they're coming to beg from others. But he said, I have come from India not to beg anything from the West, but to give them the highest value in life. So we are here that India's real purpose is to give. So similarly, I was telling this gentleman, at least I hope he was a gentleman, that we are not here to take from you, we are here to give. What he was continuing, say, I have this big house, I just built this big nice house, you provide, I work hard, we don't depend on anyone, that, you know, I work for my own enjoyment. So I said, okay, and I went on. The next week, I passed by there again, and he was living like in a side street, a couple houses in. So I was on the main road, and then I saw this person running towards me. So then I looked, I saw it was the same man, and he was crying. So I asked, what happened? He said, you know, I was so arrogant with you last week, and you know what happened? I said, no. He said, my house burned down, and I lost everything. The only thing I have is the clothing that I'm wearing right now. Can you help me get some clothing? And that. So that's a true story. You know, it happened right in Essequibo, where our temple was. So when Prabhupada mentioned this, I recall that pastime. I recall that story, that just see how things can go. All your ambitions can be thwarted in the flash of a moment. So this is life in the material world. This is how Maya works. It's very cruel. Prabhupada describes here, very cruel. So Kadambakanana Swami also described in this connection one incident with him, that he grew up in the Netherlands. And if anyone knows, he says the Netherlands, out of 365 days in a year, it rains more than 300 days. Like raining all the time, it's just hellish. You're always wet, it's always, you know, dirty. So one day he was walking and then he saw this ad with this cruise vacation to Kenya. That, and they show the ocean, nice waves and beautiful palm trees, nice sun. So immediately, he said, before he knew it, he took every penny what he had and he purchased his ticket and went on his vacation. He wanted to get out of this misery in the Netherlands. So he wants to come out and enjoy some happiness. So he went over there. So the cruise, they took him, you know, here are the palm trees that you saw, the beautiful palm trees. So he sat under the tree. The sun was very hot, so he sat under the tree, relaxing. And for a moment, you think, oh, this is very nice. So on the second minute, as he was sitting there, he saw something fell from the tree. And he looked, it was a huge scorpion. So on the right side, he just fell. And then he heard something fell on his left side. Look, another huge scorpion. And when he looked up, he saw a bunch of scorpions on the palm tree. So he said, my God, I can't sit here. I have to get out of here. So he got out and he decided, oh, I'm going to take a swim in the ocean. So he was preparing to go. And the tow guy said, no, you can't go in the ocean. He says, why? He says, you can't swim. He said, yes, I'm a swimmer. I can swim. He said, no, that's not what I meant. I meant you cannot go in the water because there are so many sharks. You would only last 5 minutes before you lose your life. So then he said, well, what's the purpose of this big advertising? You show the ocean. He said, well, that's the advertising department. So then the only place he could have sat to relax was in the steaming hot sun that was blazing down on him, and he didn't last for 5 minutes because the sun was too hot. So he left the Netherlands.
No.
Yes, he left the Netherlands to come to Kenya to find Sukham. And what he got Dukham. He got worse than when he was in the Netherlands. So that's the life in this world. That's what happens. It's just the nature of this world, like Srila Prabhupada said over and over, that the nature of this world is that we would have misery. We would get old age, we would get death, we would get disease. It's something we have to be prepared for. Like it or not, believe it or not, it's there. So there's nothing that we can do to stop that. So here, Vidura is first inquiring because he's so magnanimous that he's inquiring for the benefit of others, for the benefit of us. So now we know we're all in the Bhagavatam, right? The word us is here. We're all in the Bhagavatam. We all made it there. So he's inquiring for us that so that we can learn. Because for him, he's a perfect devotee. He's described as Achyuta Bhava Siddha, that perfect in transcendence. He doesn't need anything. Similarly, Arjuna was a perfect devotee. He didn't need anything. Maharaj Parikshit was a perfect devotee, very advanced. He didn't need the instructions. As a matter of fact, it's described that Maharaj Parikshit was equally as advanced and qualified as Sukadeva Goswami, that he could have been sitting speaking the Bhagavatam and Sukadeva Goswami could have been the student listening. But he didn't do that due to etiquette, because he was in the form of a king. Sukadeva Goswami was in the form of a Brahmin, form of guru. Therefore, the king should take instructions from guru. So like that. So similarly here with Vidura, that because he was perfect in knowledge, and as we know, Vidura, his past life, he was Yamaraj or Dharmaraj, the lord of death and lord of religious principles. So he was cursed to come as Vidura, but when he took his birth, remember, he took his father was Vyasadeva, right? So himself and Sukadeva Goswami, they're brothers. So Vidura, his father is Vyasadeva. So when he took his birth, Vyasadeva infused Vidura with all the knowledge that is necessary for him. So he was perfect in knowledge, 100%. So he didn't need anything. But for the benefit of others, he's inquiring. Like many times Srila Prabhupada would do the same. When he would be sitting with his disciples, especially in the early days, he would ask for any questions, and all the young devotees, they didn't know what to ask. So then Prabhupada would put the questions. Prabhupada would ask a question for them and answer it also. So that way they can know what to ask. They can know how to ask, what to inquire about, how to learn. So Vidura is doing a similar thing here, that he's putting these questions to the great sage Maitreya Rishi so that he can answer and benefit the world. So this is the actual tendency, the nature of a devotee, that even if he has to disobey the instructions for a higher purpose, he would do it. Of course, we can't imitate that, you know, but it's good to just understand this example. That a devotee's character is described as the intervening principle, that he intervenes with the conditioned souls. He comes and creates a disturbance with their normal activities just to give them something better. How many of you did Sankirtan in this room? Almost every hand. How many of you had the experience that when you go out there, people come rushing, oh, I want to learn about spiritual life, please teach me. How many of you had that experience? Probably none, right? No, because they're carrying on their life, but we went out there and we tried to disturb, that's a gross word to say, disturb, but we tried to put a halt to their activities. We tried to give them something that is more beneficial. They weren't searching for it, they were carrying on, but we know the values, so therefore we went and tried to give. So that's the intervening principle. Yeah.
That was making me think of something.
Yes, so anyway, let's go ahead and start with questions. Go ahead. Wait just one moment, let's get a microphone. And your name is?
Hamsa.
Hamsa, okay. I always mix between Hamsa and Dhruva.
Yeah.
So, Hamsa, we have a, yeah. Okay, the microphone is coming, Hamsa. Mm.
As far as the Sankirtan, like, disturbing may be, like, kind of a difficult word to describe, but, like, the Buddhists use the pond analogy to, like, represent, and throwing the pebbles in the pond create the ripples. And so I feel like Sankirtan can be seen like a disturbance in the sense that you're throwing a pebble into the pond and it's creating ripples, and when you do it with a large enough stone, after the stone hits, it clears the water. So you're giving all the people an opportunity to walk away. Maybe they don't ask you right away, but they may walk away thinking about that for years, months, days, whatever, and then because their mind has
keep the microphone closer.
Because their mind has received that the power of the holy name, like it's planted a seed potentially. You know. So it is so important, even if we may not experience directly somebody coming and asking us how to pursue spiritual life, but it is really important, and it is a disturbance, but it's a good disturbance.
Yes, exactly. So that's the life of a devotee. You know? Srila Prabhupada said we were creating war against Maya. And he also says that we cannot defeat Maya, but we're creating war anyway. So, but in a different context, that we cannot defeat Maya to change, but we should go parallel to keep our spiritual life parallel with Maya's activities. She's on one line, we're on the other line. But we're creating war in that we approach the living entities, at least human beings, we approach, and we try to change their course of activities from Maya activities to Krishna activities. So yes, that ripple is there, and therefore it's described, as you mentioned, that ripple and the pebble and the waves, is described that Sankirtan means a devotee's overflow of their devotional ecstasy. Right, Divyanga Prabhu? Yes, so that's what Sankirtan is. A devotee's overflow of ecstasy that they're giving out. So, this great devotee Mirabai also, you know, she sang similarly in her song that just like the banks of the river Jamuna overflows, similarly my love for you, Krishna, is overflowing. So when it overflows, it creates these ripple reactions. It's almost like inevitable for a devotee. They just can't avoid it. You know, you just can't avoid it. So it's just like your nature. You just can't avoid it. And that's a good contamination. That's a contamination that we want. Many times, like I see Sankirtan devotees going out, I'm thinking, you know, I wish I had that nature to do that, you know, like to go out and you know, give the best thing that's available. Because with all also Sankirtan devotee for many years, still I just don't quite have that nature, you know, to go. Many times I just act in a way that people would inquire. And then, you know, many times people said, hey, you're very different from regular people. What is it about you? And that's when, or sometimes they see my neck beads, or they see, you know, the seeker or something like that, and then they inquire. So that's the other good thing, that devotee always present themselves as a devotee, wherever, whatever work they do, wherever they're involved in. Because the mere presence of one influences the atmosphere. So anyway, any other questions or comments? Divyanga Prabhu, look over here.
Nice class. I like that story of the guy coming running, that his house burnt down. Did you give him a book? Or?
I gave him some things. I don't know what else went on. I know for sure I invited him, and we fed his family for
the day. So apropos, the guy's like, you guys, you're begging. I didn't have to beg. I built my own house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it burns down, of course. But I have experience. I was in the St. Augustine, and I used to go there a lot. And one of the locals, he also worked on the street. He sold art. He was a painter. And we never really had words, ever. But one time, he came up to me and he just started yelling at me, why are you here? You're not even from here. Why do you come here and sell things here? This is my place. And I said, well, get used to it, because, you know, this is what I do. I'll be here. I used to go down to St. Augustine 4 days a week. And he started screaming and swearing at me, and he rode off on his bicycle. A week later, he came to me and bought a book. And he said, I have to tell you, after I yelled at you that day, I almost got killed. He was riding his bike across the street, and a truck almost killed him, and he fell down, and he had this big mark on his face, and he had a broken finger. And he said, I'm so sorry, can you please forgive me? And he said, I want to buy a book. He bought a book. Now, that never happens. I mean, you know, but I just thought it was so perfect.
Yeah, you know, it's all facilities are out there. The problem is us. We have to go out there, you know. Everybody's there waiting for something that they may or may not be conscious of.
Prabhupada said they're waiting, simply hankering for Gorni Thai to come down their street.
Yeah.
And so I think like that because, you know, they don't ever acknowledge that. They don't usually come and go, oh, you're here again. Thank you so much.
Yeah, once in a while you'll get a thank you. A lot of times, at least in Miami, you know, it used to be. Every Saturday night, we used to have Harinam down Cocoa. Right, Ishbaku? You're there. Mm-hmm. Every Saturday night, we have Harinam with Siddha Vijay Prabhu. And what happens every Saturday night with the police? They arrest Siddha Vijay and throw him in jail. Almost every Saturday night, he spends some time in jail. That's because he would not stop creating a disturbance. He would be there, and we were not supposed to stop in front of this 5,000 people per hour passing at any one point in Cocoa Walk. But he would do it anyway, and then the police would come and arrest him. They arrest him, throw him in jail. You know, after a few hours, he comes out. We continue, next week he does the same thing again. And I remember one time I passed and I overheard two cops talking. One who says, oh, it's the Hare Krishnas again. I don't know what they're doing, but he said, oh, it's the Hare Krishnas again. So yeah, a devotee has this intervening principle. And what, as we described, describing here, disturbing principle from the material point of view. But from the spiritual point of view, is the best thing that one can offer. That's the best thing that we can do for anyone in society, to give what is not available otherwise. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, he said, everything is available in this material world, excepting for one thing, Krishna consciousness. So that we have to make the effort to give. So that's why Srila Prabhupada made all these sacrifices. Srila Prabhupada could have stayed in Vrindavan in his last days. He was so comfortable there at Radha Damodar and be there in the holy dam and stay there. But no, he took his guru's instructions very seriously. It took him 43 years, from 1922 to 1965. His guru instructed him at his first meeting that you are an intelligent young man, why don't you preach in English all over the world? He wasn't able to carry it out, but he prepared his life for 43 years. Srila Prabhupada kept that instruction and prepared until what we term as the fag end of life, when everyone wants to sit down, then Srila Prabhupada decided to get up and walk. So that's the compassion of a devotee. Like Vidura here, he had no business. He was already Vanaprastha. He left home. He was roaming, visiting holy places on pilgrimage. What business he had with others? But he decided, no, this is what I should do. So anyway, we'll stop here. And thank you for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you all for your attention.